In this week's podcast, Ed interviews Holly O'Neill. She is the principal of Talking Business, a company focusing on marketing strategies, focus groups, branding, and brainstorming for new products and services.
Holly, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Ed. My pleasure as well.
Let's talk a little bit about marketing research and public relations in particular. How is it that marketing research is a factor in public relations?
It's one of those secrets of PR. You know, PR practitioners have many different secrets in their little tool bag. And using marketing research is one of those tricks in their tool bag.
Well, what specifically are they researching? I know that you work with brainstorming for new ideas for new products, but that's not really public relations. So how does market research come in to deal with public relations and marketing in general?
I'm glad you asked that, Ed. Let's step back for a second and define the two basic types of marketing research. And in a few seconds, you'll see how it weaves into public relations very nicely. First of all, we have quantitative research, and that's a methodology that uses mathematical models and analyses. Typically, larger sample sizes are involved, usually starting at about 300 to be significant, and it can easily go into the thousands, depending on what you're trying to research. There's typically less input per respondent, and the most common technique in this family, so to speak, of methodologies is the survey. And I'm sure everyone in the viewing audience has taken a survey at some point in their time and is familiar with surveys from a user standpoint. The other main category of research is called qualitative, and that's really all about being in-depth. It's about understanding the attitudes, the opinions, the beliefs, the motivations, the biases of respondents, really getting into their heads and finding out what's ticking. You know, why do they buy what they buy, and why aren't they buying the competitor's product?
Well, in the legal market, and which is part of the professional services market, folks who are our listeners here today, it would seem to me that their survey in a quantitative basis would never work because you would never get a sufficient quantity to make it a good sample. But on a qualitative basis, trying to understand who your clients are and what their reactions are to what you do would be really useful.
It's very, very useful, and this is where it starts to play into public relations. Because when you really understand your customer base, you can use the marketing research in public relations really in two main ways. First of all is researching the market. You know, developing your campaign theme for your PR. What's the positioning of that theme going to be, and how is it going to be carried out over time? What's the messaging going to be? Because you really need to understand how salient the messaging points are to really get the readers involved in the material. And that's mostly qualitative. And you can use these methodologies to develop your research for the market, or you can use it to test it. Once you have hypotheses, you can go out and try them out on your test respondents. The other area where you want to use your marketing research in public relations is research for ink. This is when you're using the information in a press release directly to attract the editor, to gain more consumer visibility or your visibility of whoever your target audience is, whether it be lawyers or non-lawyers. Also looking at, you can use the information to measure your program effectiveness. And to get research for ink and PR, you can use qualitative and quantitative.
Well, let me ask you this question for our listeners, many of whom would be in small firms or even sole practitioners. How could they use the qualitative results from asking questions from their clients and their contacts to benefit them? How is it that they could use public relations to heighten the awareness of the marketplace and their community for what they do?
If those small practitioners really take the extra time to understand who their clients are, what about their companies? What about their products? What about their competitors? Why are people buying them? Why are people not buying them? That can really be worked into the press releases to give more flavor, more interest to the editors. And let me give you what happens with the flip side of that. When there's not a deep understanding, the size of the house doesn't really matter. But what matters is actually doing it, doing the research. And if you're a small company, you're going to do it on a smaller scale. if you're a larger firm, you're doing a larger scale. But without this research, what typically happens in the press releases is all you have to talk about is intercompany news. And the editors out there of the newspapers and the online publications and the journals aren't really interested in publishing what's new about your company, but they will publish something that's of interest to the readers, of interest to the clients, and something that's new, that's really into their heartbeat, and really bring that information about the heartbeat of your target audience into the press release. That's new. That's fresh. Intercompany news doesn't grab enough.
So, in other words, you're going back to the selling terminology, if I may, for just a moment. We're not looking for the features, i.e. the features of the law firm. We're looking for the benefits, i.e. the benefits to the clients and to the readers of the press release.
Exactly. So often PR falls into the hands of someone wanting to talk about themselves, a company wanting to talk about themselves and ramble on. People don't want to read about that. People want to know what's in it for them. So it's the client or the readership base needs to know, why should I be reading this? Why is it of importance to me? Talk to me. I don't care about you unless there's an end benefit in it for me.
Well, what would you suggest, or how would you suggest a lawyer out creating the kind of press release that you're talking about that has a story to tell, that conveys a message to the reader, the editor of the publication, or the client themselves, if they should get it, that is interesting, that makes them want to pick up the phone and find out more information?
Well, there's a basic how-to formula for that, Ed. And you can work around this a little bit with your creativity, but this is kind of the basics of how it works. Step one is you want to announce that newsworthy piece. What is the new product, the new feature, the new benefit, the new something that is coming out by the law firm or coming out by one of its clients that the law firm wants to chat about? Secondly, you want to discuss why it's important. How is it going to meet the needs of the customer base? How is it going to benefit them? Thirdly is where the research comes in. This is where you offer the research findings to support the customer needs, get some information from the mouths of the target audience, how it's being fulfilled, why are these needs being fulfilled by this new product, and how so. And, of course, you want to include some kind of a quote. You want to include a quote either from the research practitioner, or you want to include a quote that quotes something verbatim out of the research. The fourth step would be to wrap it up with more details about the new product, the feature, the service, whatever it is that's newsworthy. Give a little bit more detail about that. Most likely you want to, in step five, include some information about the methodology. How many people were included in the study? What types of people were they? Were they lawyers in the study? Were they college students in the study? Were they different kinds of professionals or just the average American? And lastly, of course, any good press release finishes with a boilerplate.
Well, one of the things you mentioned was a quote, and it was interesting that I just heard earlier today talking about press releases that it's important to have a quote because the media picks up the quote as though it were a fact. So you could be as outrageous and outlandish as you wanted to be because it's in a quote from somebody, and that somehow gets picked up as fact. Is that correct?
I'm not sure about being picked up as fact, but it does definitely generate more picking up. And I think that's one of the key reasons for including it, at least from my perspective. And when you have this extra information in there from an outside party or quoting an outside party, quoting some outside research, really gives the press releases an incredible amount of flavor. And it's the first one to get picked up off the wire as opposed to the other 10 or 15 that are sitting there that are just the boring same old, same old.
Well, I guess a question I perhaps should have asked you in the very beginning, which follows the pattern of what we've been talking about, i.e., why should I do it, why is it important to me, and so forth. Let me ask you the question in this form. Why are press releases important to professional service people in the first place?
Oh, that's a great question, Ed. Thanks for asking it. Because the press releases are a way for them to be heard by not just people interested in them, but perhaps also some prospective clients. The more you're in the media, the more clout you have, the more you're given sort of a halo of credibility. When your name or your company's name is out there in the LA Times or on one of the big, legal sites or in one of the trade magazines of the profession, seeing that name over and over again in a reputable magazine or newspaper or periodical brings the halo of that publication onto the company that's featured in it. So to be able to borrow a halo from a publication such as the LA Times and being featured on that on a semi-regular, at least an occasional basis, really gives a lot of clout to the organization that they're talking about.
Most lawyers understand how to write contracts and briefs and the like. They don't understand how to write press releases. It's sort of not only counter, but just outside the realm of their normal training. So how is it that we can get press releases prepared and produced and distributed to the appropriate people? Can we do it ourselves, or do we have to hire a PR professional, or is there somebody else that might be able to help us with this process?
This is the case, Ed, where I'm going to tell you to go outside the organization. You really, for PR, need someone who is a PR specialist. Just as a lawyer would advise you to not draw up a contract yourself, I mean, many of us with master's degree in business think we can write a contract, but we have no real legal training. And a lawyer would be the first to advise us to allow them to write the contract. So the reverse is true, too. Lawyers aren't trained to write these press releases, to use the words that are going to grab the editors, to use the syntax, to use the formats that are accepted, to place it on the wire. These are things that you really need to have your PR specialist do.
And let me strike close to home and ask you the following question. How is it that you can tell a good press release writer? I mean, I've dealt with a number of folks, and just as in the case of dealing with different lawyers, there are some that are better than others for the purpose that you're looking. And how is it that you can tell that this particular person in PR writes a good press release that serves your needs?
That's an excellent question, and actually it's not an easy one to answer, because someone who is an excellent writer may not write good press releases, because it is a little bit of a different art, because you're not just writing to tell a story, you're writing to gain the interest of the editor to make sure you get published. And that would be editors typically across different kinds of publications, different journals that may have different readerships. So in the case of trying to find a PR specialist, you'd want to ask for referrals. Find one that actually works in the legal industry. For instance, you may want to go to the LMA, the Legal Marketing Association. You want to ask for references for the people that you might be talking to or the firms you're talking to. And I think most importantly is ask for results. Ask the PR practitioners how many of their press releases actually get and how many publications. PR people subscribe to services that tell them this. They know when a press release goes out, when it's been printed, and what publications, online, offline, and they should be able to provide you all that data.
Well, Holly, I want to thank you for helping us out today. The ideas that you're talking about, I think, are important. And as law firms grow and understand that they are in a business, not just a profession, they're going to need to take on characteristics of many of their clients. So thanks again for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks, Ed.
You have been listening to a Law Biz podcast. For more podcasts, please visit www.lawbiz.com/podcasts.html. Feel free to tell your friends and colleagues about Law Biz podcasts. You may duplicate this program in part or in whole, provided that you retain appropriate attribution and copyright notices.